is up, everybody, and welcome back to the Tailgate. This is Tailgate Talks, and we are back after an extended summer vacation after our last episode of the Text Bees, the first ever Text Bees. We haven't had a whole lot to talk about, haven't had a whole lot of time to get on the mics and record, been busy, but football season is here as the Red Raiders kick off on Saturday. College football season is underway. Week zero got away last week, so we officially have football back in our lives. So we thought it's time to hit the mics up, talk some Texas Tech football, and get ready for the season. So what we're going to do today, we're going to talk a little Texas Tech offense, do our Texas Tech football offensive preview, a quick little season preview, expectations, our record predictions, and then a little quick preview for Arkansas Pine Bluff, since it should be a cakewalk game, hopefully. And then we'll do the defensive side of the ball, special teams, next week as we get ready for another weak opponent in Kent State. So I figure we have some time to kind of disperse these out, do the episodes in different parts as the season really gets underway, kind of week three, so against Oregon State. So that's the plan for this week and next week. And so with all that said, let's go.
Get your guns up, Red Raider Nation. Let's go.
All right, Dustin. Well, it is Thursday when we are recording, and that means we are 2 days away from the Texas Tech football season kicking off. By the time you listen to this podcast, we will be either a day away from kickoff, or it'll be the day of kickoff if you're waiting till 6:30 p.m. and want to get some tailgate talks listening in at your tailgate. You can do that. But the football season is almost here. It's an exciting time. It's an exciting season, a season with a lot of expectations. So before we get into the offensive side of the ball, how we feeling 2 days away from kickoff?
Very excited. We can get the Kool-Aids out, start drinking, and see how the season goes after all the hype and tortilla talk, money spent. Yeah. We finally get to see a product on the field. So very, very excited for Saturday evening's game.
It's felt like a long yet fast off season at the same time. Yes. It's kind of like weird. It's like football season kind of snuck up on me. I guess work was like just so busy that it kind of got through. But also it's felt like we've had to wait forever to see these transfers come in and play. And so it's been an odd off season. Lots of eyes on the Red Raiders, which is exciting. It's fun to be hear Texas Tech talked about in other different media areas, and not just Texas Tech fans, Texas Tech podcasts.
Yeah,
we've been mentioned in a lot of other places, so that's exciting. A lot of pressure for the season. I think I've seen a lot of people say that this is the most important Texas Tech football season in quite some time, and I have to agree. I just, other than 2008, I can't really think of a season in my lifetime where there's just kind of this much pressure, just because of the amount of money that you've spent on those transfers to bring in that talent, and the confidence that they're talking with, the goals of reaching the Big 12 championship game, a college football playoff. It just feels like a lot of lofty expectations, but with that talent comes expectations. Any additional thoughts on the pressure and coming up with this season?
You do have an easier pre-conference schedule than before, so that should help build some momentum and confidence in especially the Tech fan base that tends to jump off a cliff very quickly. And, I mean, one or two losses don't jump off the cliff or the bandwagon. Now, once you start getting into three or four, sure, start making some judgments. Yeah. But I know outside of our town and fan base, there are a lot of people rooting against us.
Yeah. Which I don't really get, unless you're, you know, Alabama's, the SEC almighty, Big Ten almighties. Like, even if you're like a conference in those schools, shouldn't you be rooting for Tech, like, to show that other schools can match up with these big boys? Like, I don't know. That's a weird thing to me, is like a lot of schools are rooting for a downfall. And I'm like, anybody in the Big 12 conference, I understand the, you know, you're going to want to beat us, but at the end of the day, you should root for us to go on a run.
I think once you start taking players away from other teams, they start to get butt hurt. And like, David Bailey could have went to Clemson. I'm just making up a team. And so they get mad that now they can't have him. Or you take a five-star offensive lineman for next year's high school class. They start getting mad because he should be going to Alabama or Georgia and not here.
Yeah, I mean, I get the frustrations from those schools. I think from the smaller schools that aren't the regulars in the college football playoff, I think, like, you need a disruptor to come in and show that.
They just need something to bitch about, I agree. I think. Oh, yeah.
But anyway, Texas Tech football season is about to start. We're excited. We'll be out there Saturday tailgating, getting ready for kickoff. And so to do that, we're going to cover the offensive side of the football today. And discuss the Red Raiders and Baron Morton, Mack Leftwich, and them boys. And so that's the plan. What we're going to do here is go by position groups, quarterbacks, running backs, offensive line, pass catchers, kind of like we do every year when we preview these groups. But to start off, we've got a new guy running the offense, offensive coordinator Mack Leftwich, taking over for Zach Kittley, who departed Texas Tech for a head coaching job. Enter Mack Leftwich, who comes in as the former OC at Incarnate Word and Texas State, taking over for his first year here at Texas Tech under Joey McGuire. His offenses at Texas State were pretty dang good. Averaged 37.1 points per game last season, which was top 15 nationally. It was a record-setting offense for Texas State last year. They averaged almost 460 yards per game. Also top 30 in both passing and rushing yards a game. So it was a very balanced offense that was able to attack you from not only on the air, but on the ground. So that's something that you like to see, not just beat a team one way, but be able to beat a team both ways. So excited to see what his offense can bring to Texas Tech, and your thoughts on Mack Leftwich in year one.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this. I was not the biggest Kittley fan. Even though he had great numbers, when we watched the game with our eyes, we didn't feel the same vibe as the numbers showed. So I think this is a major upgrade in offensive system philosophy, attacking the defense rather than taking what they're giving you type thing, which I feel is what Kittley was more doing.
Yeah.
And I also like the things I've heard out of camp and some of the other reports, just how he does things. I mean, you just listed off kind of all his accolades from last year's type team, and the balanced attack is really nice, but also that they're top 30 is what's also nice. Like, you're trying to push the ball with both sides running and passing there, and that's going to be key with some of the additions we made this offseason in those areas, in our youthful backfield that you'll get into more later. But I think my favorite thing that I've heard about Mack and what he allows his offense and quarterbacks to do especially is you have more of an option of your on your route tree and developments out there. It's not just where Kittley was a very structured 1-2 type read. He's a more option type. You can bomb it. The receivers have the option too. You don't have to just run this slant route. You can run a slant and do it. Beat that guy. Let's go score a touchdown. So the options allowed for these guys is what I'm most excited about, and being able to throw the ball more than 15 yards down the field if you want to.
Yeah, the receivers have a little more flexibility. It sounds like they can kind of feel where the defense is and change their route up depending on how they're being played, which is definitely very interesting. I'm just very curious to see what Baron looks like with this offense. Of course, Baron's really healthy, and we'll get into him a little bit more. But I think there's a lot of curiosity on, like, who was holding the offense back a little bit. Yeah, the numbers looked great and everything like that, but I really thought that there was times that this offense left a lot to be desired. There's a lot of things that we talked about last season of capitalizing in games where you had leads and building leads, and it was always a struggle to do that. That's why you're in so many close games, and close games where you needed touchdowns, you know, and staying in a game. You were just kind of unable to do that sometimes, but yet you'd go down and have a great drive at Iowa State and win the game. So it was like very inconsistent at times. And so for me, what I'm looking for with Coach Leftwich is, just consistency, the ability to continuously move the ball, not asking him to score every drive, obviously, but, you know, minimize three and outs and big offensive situations, build leads, stay in games, just kind of be able to put together important drives consistently throughout the season and really let this offense go. I think he got a lot of weapons, so I'm really excited to see what they can do. Well, speaking of Mac Leftwich and the weapons, let's turn it over to Dustin, who's going to cover the main guy that this offense is falling under, all this talent. How far we go is going to depend on this room and this particular player, Dustin, taking over the quarterbacks for Texas Tech this year. Go ahead.
Yeah, you have a returning senior quarterback with some experience under his belt, even though he's getting overlooked in the national media when they're covering the Big 12.
Yeah.
If you watch the Kansas State-Iowa State game, they showed a graphic that was a key returning quarterbacks for the Big 12, and there were seven guys on there, and Barron was not one of them. Yep.
Interesting choice.
Yeah, he kind of mentioned and hinted at, like, he was a little injured and banged up last year. He ended up getting shoulder surgery this spring to fix some things up. Is apparently 100% healthy and 100% range of motion. All the things are checkmarked and good to go, is what we're being told.
Yeah, what we're being told. We were also told this last year.
Yeah, when I was writing this out, I wrote down a few stats, and then I just big star on shoulder. It all depends on Barron's shoulder. But the stats on Barron just from last year, he was third in the Big 12 in yards and touchdowns. Over 3,300 yards, 27 touchdowns, only 8 interceptions, 63% completion rate. Basically the third best quarterback in the Big 12, at least. And that's crazy that you leave him off a list when,
but not good enough to go up in a graphic.
The number one quarterback was Shador, numbers wise. He's not back. So basically Barron's should be one of the top three this year and gets left off. Yeah. But hey, maybe that fuels a fire. He sees those things.
Yeah, the other interesting thing to me is that he beat, like, several of those quarterbacks on there. Rocco Beck, he beat the Arizona quarterback. He beat Sam Leavitt, the Arizona State quarterback. He beat three of those guys.
Leavitt. Yeah, so, yeah, it all depends on Barron. Maybe it fuels his fire. But he has a lot to prove with those injuries. The last couple of years hasn't been able to stay healthy. And so – everything depends on Barron and his shoulder. This guy's backing him up. We brought in Mitch Griffs from Wake Forest. He's a senior. He's kind of held things down during the spring for us. And then Will Hammond, listed as your number two redshirt freshman. Got a little bit of run last year. Not enough to burn his redshirt. So he's coming back as a redshirt freshman as your backup. But yeah, hopefully we don't need to see much of those guys in key moments. Maybe he will see them Saturday, obviously, if we're up a lot. So do you have anything else on Mr. Barron Morton?
Yeah, no, I'm just I'm excited to see what he looks like with this offense. I'm excited to see what he looks like theoretically healthy. I really hope that he stays healthy. I think, like, you brought in all these pieces and you have Big 12 championship aspirations, college football playoff aspirations, and it all, like, kind of falls on that shoulder and how healthy he can be this season and really what he looks like healthy. You know, I think the coaches have mentioned it. Joey mentioned it. We haven't really seen him as his true self since we very first saw him at Oklahoma State, that his first year. And since then, he's just been banged up. And so be nice to have him healthy. Our offensive line is going to be a key piece of that, which you'll get into in a little bit. But you know, I hope he's healthy, and I hope he's the kid that we all thought we were going to get, you know, when we originally brought him in. You know, I do feel for him getting left off some of these lists. You know, like you said, he was third in the conference last year. This was an 8-4 team last year. Sure, it felt like a little bit underperforming at sometimes, but he put up statistically pretty good numbers from a guy who's been in the league, got experience, coming back, lots of weapons, and a team that's expected to do a lot, and he just keeps getting slighted. And so maybe that's the motivation he needs to come out and put it on him this season. And so to me, that's really what I'm hoping for, is that he comes out just fiery and leads this team to a place we've been trying to get to my whole life.
But yeah, that's what I got on quarterbacks and Barron.
All right, well, let's move over to the guys he'll be handing the ball off to, dumping the ball off to, and that's our running back room. Of course, the big missing piece on offense that we'll feel this year is no more Taj Brooks, no more Taj time in the backfield. A very comfortable, consistent piece that we've been relying on for several years is now not back there anymore. So that's one of the big question marks is how the offense will fare without Taj. Well, you went and hit the portal to try to help replace him by bringing in Quentin Joyner. And the big piece of news from the last few weeks is that, well, Quentin Joyner is done for the season with a torn ACL. And so one of your big offensive portal additions in the running back room is now gone for the season, leaving you relatively thin in that group with the several guys who really, let's just face it, are unproven so far. You've got Jacoby Williams and Cam Dickey, who are now stepping up to both kind of be 1A and 1B of your running back room now. They'll split the carries. Jacoby Williams only had 41 carries, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns last season. He also added 10 receptions for 100 yards and a touchdown. You saw his explosiveness and ability to create plays in his guy that I think everybody's pretty excited about. It'll be interesting to see how his role changes now due to the Quentin Joyner injury, because it seemed like he was going to be a big special teams factor. But now that you're a little bit hit on the running back depth, his special teams role might take a little bit of a back seat as you got to have him healthy as a running back. And Cam Dickey, who also had 41 carries for you and 225 yards last year, 1 touchdown, 9 receptions and 47 yards for a touchdown. And he's more of your like prototypical build for a 3-down back, kind of a bigger, more of a bruising type back, more of a power runner, while Jacoby Williams is more of your home run hitter. And so you do bring, while I don't think either one of them bring on your like full typical prototypical Taj Brooks type feed him the rock constantly 20 something carries a game, I think with the two of them, you kind of get a mixture of that. You know, it's going to be very difficult to replace what Taj Brooks did. But I think you have two guys who are capable of doing that. Jacoby Williams, we saw last year in spurts, was a really electric runner, a guy that can any particular play take it to the house. We saw him do that against Arkansas in the bowl game. And Cam Dickey, you know, I think it was a little bit of a struggle for him last season at times. Some of the plays, I remember him missing some blocks and key situations, stuff like that. But, you know, he's got a year under his belt, learned some things from Taj Brooks. We'll see what he can bring to the table this year. And then your third stringer, Adam Hill, it'll be interesting to see what he can bring. I've heard a lot of buzz about him this offseason. There's been a lot of talk about how he's going to surprise some people and might find himself getting some playing time, especially now when you have lost Quentin Joyner, and now you've kind of got really just two guys to rely on, and say Cam Dickey or Jacoby Williams aren't really living up to what you need them to be. Maybe Adam Hill can step in and fill that role for you. Another name to keep an eye on, Michael Hollywood Henderson. He was originally recruited to play defense, but he did play running back in high school, and he has since been moved over to the running back position to kind of give you some additional depth at that position. But that's our running back overview. Dustin, your thoughts on this group and with the loss of Quentin Joyner and kind of what your expectations are for him?
Yeah, the loss of Joyner sucks, but it could have been in a position you don't have depth. So luckily, like, you have depth.
Yeah.
You don't fall off as much as some of these other positions might have really hurt you. So yeah, now you put your faith in these two younger sophomore guys, and I still like what we have back there. My, like, faith or offensive numbers or win totals didn't change with this injury and these other two guys playing more. And that's a great thing. I mean, no shame at Joyner getting hurt, you know, but I have faith in Jacoby and Cam, and Jacoby's like almost a similar version of what we were going to get with Joyner. So I'm excited to see what they can do. They've, like you mentioned, they've been here for a little bit, so they got a little more experience than last year. I think last year they might have been little deer in the headlights a bit. Yeah. And it's also hard when you have such an all-star running back like Taj playing every down. Yeah. You don't take in as much information or aren't as ready possibly because, you know, Taj will do it. And now that's not there. So maybe they're going to be way more prepared and ready this year to take on these roles. So I'm excited for them.
Yeah, I'm excited to see him too. Yeah, my predictions haven't changed based on the Joyner injury. I think it is obviously something we might not know how much we miss him until later on in the season. Or maybe these guys just really pick it up and take over this opportunity that they're given here to, you know, maybe one of them really steps up and becomes like your go-to guy. I think I'm really interested to see who they turn to in situations, who's your goal line guy, who's your third down, we got to get this guy. Like, is one of them going to step up and be able to take over that role? Is going to be different roles? If it's short yardage situation, we're going Cam Dickey. If it's a little bit longer, we're going Jacoby Williams. Or we passing downs, Jacoby Williams becomes kind of more of a threat, and where, you know, you got to use him there. So I think, like, the interesting thing about it is I really think it was going to be a three-headed monster at running back. And so I think that's why a lot of our expectations haven't changed drastically is, like, sure, I think Quentin Joyner was going to be your 1A, but it didn't really feel like he had that huge lead over these two guys. So I think that's why that loss is kind of like, damn, it sucks. Yeah. We were excited to see him. He seems like a potential game-changing type player, but I think you also have two guys like that following him.
Yeah, totally agree.
So that's our running back room. Obviously sucks to lose Quentin Joyner, a guy we were excited to see. Hopefully he gets better soon. And in this day and age in college football, you never can guarantee that you'll ever see him suit up in red and black. Hopefully we get him next year and hopefully we get to see him, but wish him nothing but the best in his recovery. But that now leads us to the big boys up front who will be trying to create paths for these running backs and trying to protect and keep Baron Morton upright. And well, there's lots of new faces on this line, so Dustin, teach us about this new and improved offensive line for Texas Tech.
All right, this is what I'm most excited about on the offense this year. I think this is the biggest upgrade that we made for our offensive side of the ball. I have a whole two deep for us because that is a lot of what we did this year, is we added a lot of good depth. And that is where we've really struggled the last few years, is one injury has taken us from being okay/good to okay/not good. And now we're not as reliant on just the five guys there. We have three really good backups if we need them. So to start with the returning guys, you got Sheridan Wilson, won the center job. They've been saying he's been such an improvement even from last year. And he started all 13 games for you at center last year. And so to hear that, he's a junior. So to hear that is massive news. Like, I don't think we were expecting to get like worldly numbers out of him, but to hear that he's really taken that role and stepped his game up is great to hear. To his right, the whole right side's back basically. So like Davion Carter, going to be your right guard. He's a senior transfer from Memphis that we got last year. He was your best O-lineman last year by far, easily. Your most steady, best blocker both ways. So great that we have him back. And especially like that consistency with Sheridan Wilson and Davion working together should be massive as well. And then at right tackle, Jacob Ponton has won that right tackle job. Redshirt freshman, 4-star recruit.
Yeah.
He is 6'8", 305. So that is big.
That's a big boy.
Yeah, I had to look him up. And I was like, oh, wow, he's 4-star redshirt freshman recruit that we got. So, like, that's massive. But yeah. What we also went and got out is a lot of massive dudes. So, like, all these redshirt freshmen that we've recruited – or these guys we've brought in, we brought in a lot of beef. So, like, can't wait to push some people around on that. All right, going the other way up front, your left guard, Will Jados, senior transfer from Miami, Ohio. Well sought after guy. He's also on the injury list as questionable for this game coming up. So, hopefully we get to see him a little bit Saturday. And so, well sought after guard transfer that we expect things out of. And then at left tackle, your literally biggest transfer you got this year. Howard Sampson, giant left tackle, junior from North Carolina, 6'8", 340. Giant. Yeah, that, let me say that again. 6'8", 340. All ACC, honorable mention. He is a junior.
And he's just a junior.
As well. You could get 2 years out of him. But, yeah, if he really balls out, don't expect him to come back. But he was the number two offensive tackle transfer in the portal this year. Top 20 guy overall. Lots of people wanted him. He's a Texas guy, so it probably wasn't too difficult to recruit him back and have him on our – O-line, so he's going to be protecting Barron on that side. Your three main backups, I'm only going to mention three of them. Cash Cleveland, you got from Colorado, sophomore. He's a little injured right now, might have came in banged up, but we do expect him back soon. But he should be one of your interior guys. The other interior guy, also returning, Vinny Scurry, who hurt his knee only after two games last year, but was supposed to be a very big transfer addition for you last year from Toledo. So hopefully we can get him and Cash back, and your guard and center positions are well backed up if anything happens to those guys. And then at your tackle position, another transfer you brought in, Hunter Zambrano, Illinois State senior transfer. He was also highly sought after. He will be backing up your two tackle positions. So you brought in a lot of beef. You brought in a lot of depth. I mean, Cash Cleveland was starting at Colorado last year, was their second best O-lineman last year. Would have been well wanted back, I'm sure. And you got him to come back with no guarantees of starting. Like, that's amazing. And so and then you have two seniors that are coming back to also be backup. So like, you brought in a lot of beef. You got a lot of depth. And your talent also improved. You're not just rolling out mediocre guys either. So you improved all three of those levels of your O-line, which should elevate your offense a lot.
Yeah, you got some big boys. It's exciting to see when you look at that depth chart, that just consistent 300, 300, 300. The smallest guy is Davion Carter at 295. And, you know, he has experience from being here last year. Was a, you know, at Memphis the year before, and he was great. And so it's like, yeah, it's just nice to see us load up. We know you got to win in the trenches, and that's exactly what Cody Campbell said he was going to do, and that's exactly what we went out and did. And so I'm really excited to see what a good offensive line can look like. I feel like I forgot. It's been so long since those Leach days of just these big boys up front who could protect. And, you know, it's looking – this is like looking kind of like the size of those lines. You know, all those dudes are 300-something pounds and just massive, but could move and – did their jobs great. And so hopefully you're getting that. It's fun to see some of the young guys stepping up, like Jacob Ponton getting a starting spot over Hunter Zambrano, who was like one of the prize gets of the portal season. And so I think we all get distracted by all the portal guys, but it's nice to see some of the homegrown guys stepping up and taking over, and some of the guys that you've spent some time with, you know, rising to the occasion, taking the competition and beating out some competition. So excited to see these group of guys. Hopefully they can keep Barron healthy. Hopefully they can pave the way for these running backs to break some big ones. And hopefully offensive line is not a position that we have to talk about a whole lot this year. If we're not talking about them a whole lot, that means they're doing a pretty damn good job. All right, the last group we've got to talk about on the offensive side of the ball, your pass catchers. I'm combining our wide receivers and tight ends into this group. Key departures from last year, of course, Josh Kelly, Mr. Consistent, Mr. Third Down, is no longer with you. And Jalen Conyers has also left, both of them pursuing pro careers. I think both of them didn't make open day rosters, but I'm sure they'll get practice squad opportunities. But that leaves you with some holes. Josh Kelly was a great for you on third down. I think he was one of the best in the country last year on third down receptions, and that's void is now gone. But you do have several key returners, including Caleb Douglas, who is the second leading receiving returner in the Big 12 this year. He had 60 catches for 877 yards and 6 touchdowns last season. Coy Aiken, another familiar face, 49 catches for 652 yards and 7 touchdowns. Of course, Micah Hudson, the re-return, who was here last year, left us for a little bit, is now back. He had only 8 catches for 123 yards, but all things from camp are that he is taking snaps with the ones and twos and now got a promotion to special teams returner. So we'll be seeing Micah's name a lot more this season, I believe. John Carlos Miller, returning tight end for you, 10 catches, 122 yards, and 3 touchdowns. A couple other names that have been here, but you haven't really seen or heard their name a whole lot during a season. Maybe you have during camp. That's TJ West and Kelby Valson, names that you've heard. New faces on the other new faces coming in. Reggie Virgil, he's the other name to kind of remember right now, who might compete with Caleb Douglas as wide receiver one. 41 catches last year, 816 yards and 9 touchdowns last season at Miami, Ohio. Another transfer, Roy Alexander, came in 100 catches last year for 1,108 yards and 13 touchdowns at Incarnate Word. So two guys with who were able to put up quite a impressive stats last year coming in to fill the void of Josh Kelly. Terrence Carter, your big tight end addition, 48 catches for 689 yards and 4 touchdowns last season. He'll be hopefully replacing the production that Jalen Conyers was able to provide you. And then you got some freshmen out there that you might see from time to time. Michael Dever, Tristan Gentry, Leighton Stone. Those are names that I've heard that will be impactful. I don't know how much of an impact, but they're guys that I would expect to see. Especially on Saturday when you're going up against a much weaker opponent. Other receivers to kind of keep an eye on, Bryson Jones, Preston Harrison, and Tyson Turner that round out that group. Pretty exciting group of receivers. I think you've got a lot of versatile guys here. You've got that consistent connection that, you know, Barron's already developed with Caleb and Coy Aiken. You know, he's had a year with Micah Hudson in practice, so that's nice. And from all I've heard, his connection with Reggie Virgil has been pretty nice too. So it seems like the addition of Reggie Virgil is going to be a really good one for him. I think the interesting thing with this group is who's going to become Mr. Consistent for you this year. Who's going to be the wide receiver one with no Josh Kelly, who was that for you last year? Who can step up? Can that be Caleb Douglas? I believe it can. I think Caleb Douglas is severely underrated in the country when you're talking about receivers. He was really coming on for you late last season. What can Reggie Virgil be that? Or can they both be that? You know, they're both exciting receivers, both very talented receivers. I kick ass with them in college football, 26. So I have high expectations for them. And then at the slots, you know, Coy Aiken is going to be your starting slot receiver. I'm really excited to see what he can do this year. He obviously comes in as your most experienced receiver here at Tech. And then what can Micah Hudson do? You know, I think that's a big X factor for the season is, can Micah Hudson be the guy that you thought you're originally getting? You know, last year didn't go as expected. He was hurt. Things didn't really work out. Can this year be that year? Is he extra motivated to go and make a name for himself and really become one of those, you know, five-star guys that hits and really takes off? So I think this is a really interesting group. I really like the kind of depth that you have, the star power that you could potentially have with this group. What are your thoughts on this wide receiver tight end core that we've got this year?
Yeah, I love our depth and our talent at these positions. I think it's very similar to what you've had the last couple of years. You've had a similar situation the last couple of years in these positions. But I think with your new offensive coordinator, these guys can shine a little more. I don't think you'll necessarily see this is our number one, this is our number two guy, this is our number three, because of that. And that's in a good way. Yeah. I think we're going to spread the ball around way more. And, yeah, you have Reggie going deep. Caleb can also go deep. You have Coy in the slot. And we know what he can do. And he's going to be – they've also said he's going to be a big producer in the run game as well as a blocker because of his toughness. That's why he's in the slot, so he can handle some of those bigger blocks for you. And then your tight end room is just as talented as ever. There's a lot coming out about Terrence Carter Jr. Yeah. He was a well-sought-after transfer that a lot of people want. I mean, at 6'2", 245, the speed he can run at is ridiculous. So being able to mismatch him is going to be great. And so, like, I think you have a lot of good pieces to play with and give a lot of different looks to the defense and the other team with your sets with these guys. So, yeah, I don't think you necessarily need a number one. I think you have a few guys that are going to be your top dogs, and you'll rely on them more.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a season where you're going to have, like, a bunch of different guys be your leading receiver for a game or two. It's not going to be just, like, consistently yep. Caleb Douglas. It's going to be, like, Caleb Douglas this week, Reggie Virgil that week, Micah Hudson, Coy Aiken, yes. Reggie Virgil. Like, it's just going to kind of go back and forth on that. Terrence Carter is going to have his name in there probably a couple of times. I'm really excited for, like, if I'm Mac Leftwich, I'm just yeah. looking at this and with his offense and his kind of, like, freedom that he provides the receivers, that's where it makes this really group exciting to me, is you got several guys who can take the tops off defense. You got several guys who can work in the slot. You've got a tight end who's not really, like, he's kind of your nowadays traditional tight end in the sense that he's more of a receiving weapon than he is the tight end. And he's an interesting piece that I'm really excited to see out there and how that opens up the offense even more, having a guy who can go out and take on linebackers with ease and be another solid weapon for you. So it's a really fun group that I'm, this is probably
like on Saturday, I wouldn't be surprised if five guys have a touchdown out of this group and no one has multiple.
Yeah. Yeah, I would expect a very balanced game. I think we're going to take some shots. That's what I'm excited about for this offense is, you know, it felt like with Kittley, it was just like you've got to score on 14 plays. You know, it just never felt like we had the big play capability.
Yeah.
I want some big play capability back, and I think you have it with Caleb Douglas, who we saw do this a couple times last year. You got Reggie Virgil, who had 41 catches for 800 yards. That's ridiculous. Micah Hudson's potential. We know what Kobe Aiken can do. So it's just really exciting to me, this group. It's probably the most excited I've been about our receiving group in a while. I think we got some real studs. And I just think this offense is going to help them be in the right place and open things up for them and give them the ability to make plays where really Barron's just going to have to get them the ball and now go do it, you know? And that's what we've been wanting from an offense for a while, is just – in a day and age where offenses are taking advantage of all the space and the athletes that they have, it's like, come on, can we do that? It seems like we can now.
Yeah.
That's everything I got on receiver. You got any other additional things you want to discuss with the offense or receiving group or any other groups that we discussed?
No. Yeah. We just want to do this for a lot of the transfers we brought in that we're also very excited about and hoping for production out of.
Yeah, it's a lot of new faces, a lot of familiar faces that we'll be going through. We'll be doing the same next week, defense with a lot of new pieces. But there's also a lot of pieces that were here last year that you're hoping to step up and play vital roles for you. So we'll be exciting to go through that side of the ball next week. But it is time for the football season to start, so we do got to go ahead and get our actual football thoughts out for the season, get our predictions and everything like that. And so we kind of went through our excitement for the season, kind of how we're feeling. What are your actual expectations for us this year as we get ready to kick off the 2025 season?
I think you brought in a lot of productive players. You beefed up both lines for yourself. You revamped your entire secondary so much. You upgraded both your coordinators, I feel like. I mean, I really feel like you can have a top 20 defense and offense out of this group this year. Like, that might sound crazy to Texas Tech fans because we've never had both of that, especially on the defensive side.
Both at the same time.
Both at the same time is what I'm saying. But and I think just your depth is so much better that one guy going out on a certain position is not going to hamstring kill you, your team and your season, you know. Yeah, a lot rides on Barron, but you have a ton around him. So I think you're also way deeper, way more skilled and talented as well. So I think this team really lives up to some of the expectations that are out there this year.
Yeah, my expectations are for us to do something we haven't done in a while. You know, it's win 9, maybe win double digit games. I know a couple years ago we were confident in that. And then that season fell out game one against Wyoming. And so this year's different, though. I mean, I really do believe you've got the talent for our, not only just your starters, your backups that are so much better than where you were last year, that where you're throwing Macho Stevenson was having to be a starter for you. Who's the guy who already Jalen Peoples was having to like start for you at times. It's like, man, you just had some weaknesses in some areas, and it just feels like you've addressed all of those. You're, like you said, if you suffer an injury, like the only two ones that you're going to be super nervous, maybe three, would be, you know, Howard Sampson, your left tackle, Baron Morton, and I think Jacob Rodriguez. Those would be like your three most important pieces that if they got hurt, you'd kind of be like, ah, damn. But I think, right, like everywhere else would be, all right, next guy up. And that's the expectations you're building. And so, yeah, this is as bullish I've been on a Tech team since that 2008. I really expect big things for us. You, like you said, top 20 offense, top 20 defense is not really out of the question. And I think with the defensive talent that you have and the offensive talent you have, if you reach the Big 12, those are realistic expectations. And it'll be interesting to see what that would look like. I don't know what a top 20 defense looks like.
Yeah, totally agree.
Anyway, it's an exciting time to be a Red Raider fan. I'm excited to be at the Jones Saturday and watch the Red Raiders kick off the season. Let's go ahead and do our final record predictions, Dustin. We've got expectations, lofty expectations. We've got the Red Raiders thinking Arlington for this season. What do you got? I know we usually just do overall predictions. We don't go game by game, but so what's your prediction for the 2025 Texas Tech Red Raiders?
I really think we can get to the 10-2 mark. I do think that there's a couple tough games in there. But even your two or three hard games are toss-ups and still winnable. Whereas in past seasons, you know, you had to chalk up a at BYU type game to just a loss. But you don't have any of those just chalk up a loss games this year. But I think the top of the Big 12 is so jam-packed. There's like five pretty good teams. And until we really see what teams look like or injuries hit, we don't know who's going to prove themselves or if the Big 12 is going to go chaotic and beat up on itself like it does a lot of times. So, yeah, I really think 10-2 and you get to Arlington and the Big 12 championship game.
Yeah, I think that's a realistic expectation. I'm going 9-3. I want to go 10-2. I want to go 11-1, but also just it's that Red Raider in me that I haven't seen us win 9 games since 2008. And sure, last year you got to 8 wins for the first time. It's like building blocks. Can we do it? I believe we can, but it's just hard for me to go over to double digit wins when I just haven't seen this coaching staff do it yet. I think we have the pieces to do it. I hope we do it. I also just look at the schedule and I go, damn, you got your three toughest games are all on the road. You got at Utah, which is going to be tough. You got at Arizona, the defending Big 12, Arizona State, the defending Big 12 champions, and at Kansas State, a place and a team that you just historically suck against. And so, sure, a lot of the players on this team have no relationship with Kansas State. So maybe you're hoping that can flip the tide and give you a little bit of luck there. But those are just three tough games that, you know, Utah is going to be your very first road game this season. And they're a team and fan base that is going to be buzzing to win some football games after last season. You know what Arizona State's going to be. And so I feel like it's a tough road schedule, and I can definitely see us slipping up in a few of those games. But I do think 9-3 could still possibly get you to the Big 12 championship too. Like I just think the Big 12 can be that crazy. Kansas State already has a loss. You know, Iowa State, you know, didn't look like world beating to me in that game either. So, and they're a team that you don't have to play. So I think it's possible. I'm going 9-3 just because I hate being so optimistic and then getting let down.
Right.
But I believe a 10-2 could happen. I want a 10-2 to happen. I would love to be in Arlington at the end of this season. It would be really fun to go to. Maybe have the chance to host a college football playoff game. Is that your prediction? We go to the Big 12, we win and get to host the first college football playoff game in Lubbock this season.
That'd be great.
That's what I'm hoping
sign me
for.
Up.
That's the dream right there, is to be able to host a college football playoff game in Lubbock. Lubbock would be absolutely wild that weekend. It would be fantastic. And then we're playing Duke and MSG that weekend too, the first weekend of the college football playoff. So you'd get to host that while also having a tech game against Duke at MSG. That'd be awesome. So, all right, Dustin's got Texas Tech going 10-2. I've got us going 9-3. Both would be awesome seasons for Texas Tech to have. Looking forward to that. And it all gets started on Saturday with Arkansas Pine Bluff coming to town. We're not going to like super dive into this game. This is a game that Texas Tech is favored by 52.5 points, which is a whole lot of points. And hopefully Texas Tech gets the job done. I'm tired of these first week one games being an exhausting. Wyoming, ACU. I hope we just go out, kick the dog shit out of this team. I'm sorry, Arkansas Pine Bluff. It's not you. It's just what I want to see us do is go out there, just destroy a team, put them away at by halftime, and just enjoy the first week. What are your thoughts on the first game of the season, and what's exciting time, but not exciting opponent?
Yeah, I'm actually excited that it's not an exciting opponent because of all that stuff. I mean, we've had run-ins with, you know, Wyoming, or even home games against like Sam Houston or Houston Baptist Christian, whatever they are now. They gave you tough times, and I think you have a well-motivated team and coaching staff that's going to absolutely destroy this Pine Bluff team and not hold back. I'd expect you get a lot of second stringers in early in the third quarter because of that. But the 53 points is a lot, way too much for me.
Yeah.
I had us winning 60-17. Which puts us at the not covering side. So that's just my prediction there. A lot of points, but 2.5 touchdowns for the other team is not crazy.
I don't have a score prediction on this one. I just hope that we win a lot and they have a little. You know, that's just really all I'm hoping for. I just want to see us go out there, execute. I want to see the defense. You know, I saw that their line is – their offensive line's like tiny compared to what they're going to be going up against defensively. So I just want to see our guys cause havoc, put up a lot of sacks, just make them suffer on offense. And then I just want to see our offense click, you know, be able to move the ball. This was not a good team last year. They're supposed to be like worse this year. So everything should be working smoothly for you this weekend. The offense should be putting up lots of points. The defense should be wreaking havoc. And if that's happening, then, you know, it's going to be good times on Saturday at the Jones. There's an awesome drone show that's supposed to be happening during the third and fourth quarter. So even if it is a blowout, going to have to stay and make sure I get to see that drone show. But, yeah. No score prediction for me. I'll go a lot to – I'll say they score 7 points and we score, I'll say, 56-7.
Okay.
That's what I'll go with. I don't know. But football season's here. Any other parting thoughts on the football team as we get ready for the first tailgate of the season, the first football game of the season, a loaded college football Saturday slate? Any thoughts you want to get out?
I do have a gripe about the uniforms for this week. I don't love wearing the white helmets at home. I like them as road helmets. And we're usually wearing more all white or combo white. I don't like them with the all red and the white at home as the helmet.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I get that. I'm not like anti it. I do like the all red look for your first game and against the, like, you know, I save the better color combinations for like good teams. So I'm okay with that. Like, let's get some of the kind of stuff out of the way. But it is a red out, so, you know, make sure you're wearing your red, for the first game of the season.
That was my other note. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
That covered everything I had.
All right. Well, we're almost ready. Get those tortillas ready. Get ready to throw them out there. 15-1, fuck you Big 12 and all the other teams for that. I'm sure it'll go very well on Saturday. I'm sure there won't be a single warning to us. I'm sure we'll be throwing tortillas quite a few times during that game. It'll be interesting to see. That's the only other kind of bit I'm curious about. Texas Tech kicks off Saturday at 6:30. ESPN Plus if you can't get to the game. Otherwise, we will see y'all at the Jones. We'll see y'all at our first tailgates for the season. Exciting times. Always good to have football back in our lives. That's all of our football coverage for the week. Before we get out, time to do our final shots for the week. Dustin, what's your final shot?
Yeah, quick. Earlier Thursday, Micah Parsons got traded out of the Dallas Cowboys to the Green Bay Packers. I feel like a lot of Cowboys fans are shocked by this, and I, in fact, am not. I felt like Jerry Jones was never going to pay him north of $40 million for a defensive end type player. I think just in Jerry's old degrading head that that's way too much money to pay for a pass rusher. And I'm not surprised. I mean, at least he got two first round picks out of it. Like Nico couldn't for Luka. So like, whatever. You free up a lot of money, but expect the Cowboys to be absolute dog shit this year with that. Like their defense is going to be very terrible now without one of the better defensive players in the league. So I'm not surprised.
Not surprising. Though. Jerry is just terrible. He's just a terrible owner now. Terrible owner, GM. Just Cowboys can't get rid of him fast enough. Brutal year for Dallas fans, losing Luka and now Micah Parsons. My final shot will be, excited to wake up Saturday morning for the first games, but it's also going to be a little bit sad saying bye to Lee Corso, who will have his last college game day this week in the Ohio State-Texas game. It'll be his last headgear, his last time on the show. I'm sure it'll be filled with lots of fun moments, lots of tears. It'll be kind of sad to see that legend retire, a guy who's been a key part of our Saturday mornings, like pretty much like our entire lives. And so sad to see him hang it up, but also appreciative of all the memories. We'll never forget him putting on Raider Reds headgear here for the Texas game in 2008. An icon of the sport, will never be the same not having him, firing the guns too. An icon of the sport will never be the same without him on that college football game day desk. But we'll be exciting to at least watch his last show and get up and watch, get ready for the full slate of games and then go right into Ohio State, Texas. So football time is here, folks. As soon as we get off here, I'm going to go sit on the TV, watch college football games that are happening. Nebraska Cincinnati is about to kick off here in the next hour, so exciting times ahead. We've made it.
I was watching South Florida and whoever they're playing just because it's on.
It's fun to just have football on. We've made it through the slog of summer, through the preseason football. College football's here this week. NFL's here next week. Fantasy football drafts are happening. It's that time. It's awesome. I love it. Can't wait. Can't wait for Saturday. Can't wait for that first crack of beer on a game day. And we will be there. So with all that said, enjoy your weekends. Enjoy your college football. Enjoy your tailgates. If you see us, say what up. Crack a beer with us. We'll be out and about Saturday at the Jones. Hope you all have a good first college football weekend. And as always, we will catch y'all at the next tailgate. Peace.